name it for when I was saying something retarded. In which you responded by saying that shouldn't be too hard.
I have not been known for predictability.
What?
I have not been known for a lot of things.
That was he who will not be named. informing that he is okay with you being involved in Clubness.
Good. That's good. That's very good.
Why are you talking weird?
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Why, because I'm inflecting a little more?
Yeah.
Alright.
Alright.
Whatever you say.
You're not supposed to act like you know you're being recorded.
Well, I'm just trying to project a little more. There's something wrong with you.
There are many things wrong with me. Ah, oh, damn it, I was gonna try not to laugh. God. Alright, we fail.
If you're just joining us now, we're failing a podcast.
No, I did it again! No, you don't make me laugh. No, that is something. I was gonna try and do it without laughing, because I know my laugh is loud and obnoxious as all fuck. And I'm sure everyone doesn't want to hear loud laughing.
I don't think it can be avoided, really. If you're gonna have a podcast, there's gonna be laughter in it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm loud and annoying.
Welcome to Snarkgasm. Clearly a one-off podcast. Featuring a bunch of people who clearly need better uses of their time. My name is Sawtooth. Sitting to my left is... Introduce yourself.
I thought you were going to come... We never did that, did we?
You never picked your name, I don't think.
Sorry. Puck the Zombie Atheist Jones.
Puck the Zombie Atheist Jones? That's what we're going with?
I don't know. Zombie Atheist.
Okay.
Zombie Atheist has to be involved somehow. Or ZA for short. Does that work?
Sure, that works.
Okay, ZA.
I'm Sawtooth, sitting to my left is ZA. And clearly just stealing everyone's time over there on the couch is DJ Badaxe. Not gonna come? Okay.
He's not saying nothing, but that's not actually far from how he is in real life, yeah. So...
And we just got finished playing Deadly Premonition.
Which...
Ooh.
Which is deadly, in the fact that it's the worst fucking game ever. Oh, I'm sorry, Allison.
Deadly.
Oh, I don't know if we should call her Allison, though. Oh, no.
Too late now.
Yeah, too late now.
Deadly, not for the reason I'm sure the gamers intended. I mean, the programmers intended.
Well, actually, in Japan, it's not called Deadly Premonition. It's called, like, Mystery of the Red Seed or some shit.
Well, that seems like a much more accurate
name.
Yeah,
I know.
It?
That actually drives me crazy when they do that in America.
That's like with Fahrenheit in France. In America, it's Indigo Prophecy.
Yeah, and Resident Evil in Japan's fucking... Well, everyone
Biohazard,
knows,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Biohazard, which yeah. is far more accurate than Resident Evil...
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking back, what exactly does Resident Evil have to do with the whole
like
thing?
Like, with biohazardous viruses mutating
well,
people?
Well, yeah, I mean, you at least
yeah.
have that going for it. Resident Evil could mean any number of things.
It could mean you went to a neighbor's house, and they were evil. I don't know.
There's a murderer loose in a gated community.
I don't know, I was
you
thinking...
must stop him before he murders everyone, before the next big lawn contest or something.
No, see, I, like, there is a resident named Evil. Like, because like, isn't that a name?
Well, that kind of ruins the mystery of it, if this was a mystery game. Everyone's going to think it was Mr. Evil.
Start to go mow the lawn.
It speaks.
Oh, no. I missed it, though. Wait, there's something about mowing lawns. Oh, Dr. Evil. Oh, I got it now. Yeah. Mr. Evil. Dr. Evil.
Ah, come
That's me. Different. That's 7 years of school.
That was not a dated pop culture reference. No, that was very topical.
Yeah, that was 7 years of school to make it to a doctor, and however many years back of when... Wait, I was in, like, sixth grade when the movie came out, I think. I don't know.
Anyway, Deadly Premonition. That game was kind of shit.
Yeah. No. Like, I... So you missed the boss where there was a boss, you know, that George guy?
Was he the guy with the sort of Motorhead mustache?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that guy.
I think when we were like actually recapping, you know, the last episode just before we did the that last boss battle, it actually showed a bit of him. He was dressed like some sort of weird S&M biker guy.
Yeah, well, what they didn't show in that is you fight him, he's a boss battle, and by the end of the boss battle, he's transformed into, like, a Japanese Oni guy. Like, Baraka on crack. Like
some kind of big Tengu guy sort of thing?
He has, like, fucking white, crazy Dragon Ball Z hair with, like, long freaking sideburns, and he's, like, 8 billion feet tall and has, like, arms that go far closer to the ground than they should be.
That's weird.
Yeah. And that's what I knew. This game was fucked.
That's something. I mean, just I haven't even seen like the whole game, but immediately I can just sort of take away that the game doesn't really know what it wants to be. I mean, throughout the entire thing, it just feels like it's trying to be like this sort of, you know, like this sort of amalgam between Twin Peaks and Fargo, that sort of thing. Like, there's a mystery, but the town has a seedy underbelly, and then they start throwing in like all sorts of demons and shit, like you say.
Well, actually, before I even, like, knew what game it was, when I opened the present, I thought it was Alan Wake. Because the cover looked... Which, actually, that's not far off, because that's pretty much what Alan Wake is. Like, you go to, like, this other town, and there's fucking demon things, and there's... It's better made,
There's more running through the woods in Alan Wake, from what I hear, too.
But yeah, but, you know, the other thing I thought... Because it's like... Alright, so, okay, this is a survival horror, and there's, you know, okay, you're solving a mystery, you're an FBI agent, whatever. Oh, there's ghosts and demons in another world, okay, alright, whatever. Not that weird for survival horror games, because that's pretty much what I play the most. And then it, like, doesn't... Alright, so the main character has a multi-personality disorder thing going on. Alright, so it's fucked up. But the game has a multi-personality disorder, too, because
That's a very good metaphor.
Because partway through, it goes from being, like, a survival horror, like, mystery thing to, like, a weird action-adventure Japanese fuck brain ow.
Seems like there's a little too much emphasis on quick time events for a survival horror game. I mean, I'm not a big survival horror fan, so I don't know if that's... You know, par for the course for a lot of games these days, but...
It is for Resident Evil.
But Resident Evil isn't technically survival horror, and... It's got, like, zombies and everything, but it's really... I mean, that may have been... As far as I'm concerned, that may have been the case with, like, you know, the first couple of games, but...
It's still considered as soon survival
as, horror. Sure, but as far... The way I see it, it pretty much just sort of jumped that ship with 4, because then it sort of became more about... Just sort of mowing down as many zombies in your path as you can, and just not letting them get too close. And there isn't really so much there isn't really so much emphasis on, like, you know, horror so much anymore. The survival is there, but
no,
not so much
the horror.
No, I disagree.
It's more the horror than the survival, because in all the other Resident Evil games, you're supposed to conserve your ammo and find healing items to help you survive. Like, the object is to survive by avoiding killing zombies, because if you go in killing zombies, you don't have enough ammo and health. So it's more about the surviving in the old Resident Evil, whereas now it's just like, oh, go around shooting shit, and the horror is so much as it's scary monsters. It's not so much like the scary, but like the oh fuck, I'm gonna die scary. But
well, I don't know if I'd so much classify that as horror. It's definitely like adrenaline pumping, but it's not so much horror in my mind. But whatever. Differing opinions on that sort of thing.
Well, that's where I'd be like, you admittedly said you're not into survival horror.
Yeah.
I am, so.
Right.
Which I'm sure the recorder totally saw me raising my hand just now.
Let the record show that she raised her hand.
Left hand.
Left hand. Because that's
important. Nobody speaks.
Because that's important. No one's gonna take you seriously, raise your right hand. Get the fuck out of here, right hand. Anyway. Were we about to say something about deadly premonition before we went off on just survival horror in general?
Well, I mean, that's important because it's supposed to be a survival horror game. Like, so it's kind of important to probably show what a survival horror game is.
Oh, right. Quick time events. That's supposed to be. Quick time events. That's what we're talking about.
I fucking hate quick time events.
Me too.
I hate them so much. I think that's such a cop-out in gaming.
Yeah. I remember, like, the last time the most I've been, like, really, really frustrated with a QuickTime event, on a completely different genre game, DJ Badaxe and I were playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance a really long while back.
That's a horrible game.
I liked it. Did you like it, DJ Badaxe?
It was good at the time.
Yeah, it's not a great game, but it's...
It's not a multiple playthroughs type game.
It accomplishes what it set out to accomplish, which is pretty much just being a low-rent gauntlet. Yeah. But anyway, the Galactus level, quick time events, like, popped up for maybe, like, 1 millisecond, and then just sort of... It was pretty much just, like, quick time event level, but it was the most unforgiving, and it was such a long level that... When you inevitably fucked up, like, you had to go right back to the start, and it was just such a long thing. It was, like, every time you miss, it just gets more frustrating, and that means you start back even further back. I'm sure that could really be the case for any QuickTime event, but...
Yeah, no.
That's just the last time I remember being so frustrated with it.
See, I'm gonna say a game that you're gonna make fun of me for saying, but Naruto the Broken Bond...
Meh.
But go on. The whole beginning fight is a... like, quick time event, and it's the most retarded thing ever.
Lame.
And, yeah, it's like that, where you mess up once and you have to start the whole fight over again.
A quick time event, I'm sure that we can both agree that a quick time event should not be a substitute for, you know, some gameplay.
No, it shouldn't. I'd actually rather have an... the thing with Resident Evil is they do the whole, interrupt the cutscene with a quick time event thing. I'd rather fucking watch a cutscene. Like, I mean, one or the other, like, either have gameplay or cutscene, or, like, I don't know, that's so annoying to me.
I think, Yahtzee Croshaw said it best in an episode of, Zero Punctuation. He was talking about, Uncharted, which, from what I understand, is another game that has, you know, shit ton of QuickTime events. He essentially said that QuickTime events should be a core part of gameplay, and not just abruptly pop in and pop out.
That could be true, too.
Because you're not going to be ready for it when it does show up.
The only pleasure I got out of the QuickTime events and the Resident Evil cutscenes, or would-be cutscenes, is my brother has a tendency of setting down the controller when a cutscene comes up.
That's not good.
So, first time he's playing Resident Evil 4, he sets down the controller and he, like, leans back in his chair to start watching the cutscene, and then... Press A! Oh. Scramble down for his controller. Yeah, that's the only pleasure I've gotten out of that.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Good job quoting someone else's stuff.
It dealt with the topic. What can I say?
No.
Okay. It was a topic thing. It was very topical in its topicality.
Back to Deadly Premonitions.
Yes, Deadly Premonition sucks. Anyway.
Yeah, no. It's like the best worst game I've ever played, though. If that makes sense.
No, I get what you're getting at.
Like,
it's a game where absolutely nothing is free. Nothing.
Nothing is free. Yeah, and you get paid for everything though at the same time. So.
Yeah.
Like, you get paid for shaving and changing your clothes and making sure your suit's clean and.
Your suit is clean. You get like $20 for shaving.
You were keeping track? I wasn't even keeping track.
I don't know. It was about $20. Was there no way... We were searching through the hotel where the main character is staying, and we were trying to find some way to take a shower, but supposedly there's some way to do that, but we never found it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I made that up. I thought you just need a shower.
And of course you need to keep... You need to control your hunger.
Yes.
Yeah. There's hunger, sleep, like...
Stamina wasn't one.
Yeah, stamina.
That's only controlled by running, isn't it?
And shooting, and that stuff, dodging and all that.
That seems a bit weird that stamina would be affected by shooting.
And when you're in the police car, you can do the siren, but that fucks with your stamina, too.
Well, that's just That just makes no sense.
My blood is pumping.
Yeah. But yeah, so, but, well, for the whole getting money thing, though, the reason you get money is each chapter in the game is supposed to be, like, part of your job. And there was, like, a list in the office of the sheriff, like, the sheriff's office that, says, like, how much money you get for doing different things. Like, you get rewarded for, like, you know, if the agent is presentable, and that's supposed to be, like, under the whole, like, shaving and changing.
Yeah. Because that's very important.
But my whole thing was, by the end of the game, the sheriff is, you know, dead, and, but you're
who's
still, keep, you're...
Who's the, keeping track of that?
Yeah, now? All the levels after he dies, which, oh, spoilers.
I mean, if another, if the sheriff just died, do you really think, like, whoever his replacement, his deputy or whatever, is
yeah.
all that concerned with, you know, if
the
FBI is cleanly shaven?
All of the,
I wonder, who's actually going to replace the sheriff?
Well, no, because all the people, Emily, once again, spoilers, I don't know who the fuck's going to play this game, but, Emily dies. Thomas dies.
Oh, Thomas is dead, because that would be interesting if he were to take over his
show. No, he's one of the girls. You missed that whole part, but he was one of George's lovers or whatever, and he was one of the girls. He gets killed, like, Emily kills him, but
uh-huh.
he is one of the quote-unquote girls. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you remember towards the beginning of the game,
So at that end of the game montage where you see them all in the red dresses, which one is he?
The one with the short hair.
Okay.
You can see him in that picture. Like, yeah. But, and like, when you there's a level where you're investigating his apartment, and you find his wig and his high heels, and... But no, do you remember towards the beginning of the game, he the main character dude, which I don't know what to call him now, because he has... too many fucking names.
He's Zach, he's York.
He's Francis York Morgan. Francis Zach Morgan.
For the purpose of just making this, you know, let's just call him Zork.
Zork.
So anyway, so you were Zork. Saying about Zork.
Yeah, Zork. Francis Zork Morgan. Towards the beginning, he's asking people to take off their shirts because he wants to look at their backs because the killer supposedly has a tattoo on his back. And that looks like a upside down peace sign. And he looks at Thomas's back, and Thomas has a tattoo that says I heart G. We find out at the end of the game it stood for George. So that's that.
Yeah.
So
speaking of which, maybe there was just something I missed because I didn't see the whole thing. But whatever happened to that sort of killer guy that had, you know, that had the axe or whatever? That was George?
Yeah.
He was the low-rent pyramid head guy?
Yeah, he was low-rent pyramid head.
Hmm.
Though it didn't make any sense because there was scenes, you know, Zork always goes into places by himself, but he would leave Emily and George outside while he went inside, but, like, you would go back outside and George would be in the same place, like, where you left him.
Surely the people outside would have noticed George just, like, going away, like...
Yeah, and then changing his outfit. Yeah.
Well, I mean, was he just, like, walking away and, like, I'm gonna go for a smoke, and then he just sort of ducks behind a bush or into a phone booth.
I'm gonna go for a smoke.
Like Superman.
Into the issue of smoking in the game.
Yes.
Because apparently, these cigarettes allow you to travel through time.
Yes. No, like, and I, like, just in case anyone's curious, we're not making this up. Any of this up, like, it sounds like we're making up a horrible joke. But, no, this is all in the game.
This all happened, people.
But, so. No, I was going back to the whole... Yeah, but so everyone dies, like, pretty much in the police department.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who the fuck is paying him money to shave, but it's not anyone in the police department. Yeah.
That's not a very good allocation of resources, either, paying people to shave. Unless they're just really, really that desperate to get the economy stimulated in that town.
Well, they must be because, as I was getting to earlier, in terms of the hunger meter, you can satisfy that with $32 crackers.
Yes. Yeah. There must be the worst food crisis going on in that town. Because food has been, like, inflated to egregious prices.
Donut is, like, $40. A full meal is something like $92.50.
And what is a full meal? What is your 92 cents? I mean, $92 getting you?
I'm not entirely sure, because you don't actually see it.
None of that beats an extremely tasty turkey sandwich.
Oh, yes, transcendently tasty yeah. turkey sandwich. Which is cool. Restore all of your hunger at once, more so than any of the other items of food, more than the lollipops or the sugar donuts or the can of pickles.
Or the fish. Don't forget the fish.
But yeah, you can catch fish in this game, too.
You can, go fishing in this nice little town.
For cardboard boxes that have pictures
You can't
on
eat
them.
The cardboard boxes, though, can you?
You can actually fish up items, but instead of actually fishing up the item itself, you fish up a small cardboard plaque with a picture of the item on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's...
You've got shotgun shells.
Oh, that's nice. So, like, you don't actually have the item, but you have a nice reminder of the item, so that you can just look at it and just sort of think wistfully, wow, wouldn't it be great if I had this?
Well, towards the end of the game... there's a level where you have to go fishing, and you're fishing... No, you're fishing for you have to fish for these documents that were supposed to be in the sheriff's office, and they got misplaced somehow, and somehow he, like, looks at his coffee cup and goes, waterfall! And you have to go to the waterfall and go fishing.
Yes, that's right. He can see the future by looking into his coffee.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I love that a game would actually force you to go fishing.
No, but...
not just that, but fishing for documents.
Yes, you're fishing for documents. And you're sitting there, and you have to do the fucking stupid minigame over and over and over and over and over again until you get the one square that has a picture of... I think it's a file book. Like, a Trapper Keeper thing. I don't... like... And
of course, it's not the actual Trapper Keeper. Again, it's the panel with the picture of it on it.
Yo, and then when you find...
I half expected that when we were doing it at first... I half expected that you would, when you actually catch a fish, it would actually just be a panel
a picture of a fish. No, the fish is real there.
The fish is real, yes.
But yeah, when you catch the documents, and, you know, the people are surprised that you caught it, but only kind of, like, mildly, like, wow, he caught those files. He's a crazy guy.
I think
man.
I'd be just a little bit more surprised that he was able to, like, you know, get paper on his hook.
Well, it's one thing to catch the files. It was the other thing that he caught them in a, like, it was a fast-moving river, like, right out of waterfall. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be in the same place.
And the documents were still intact. They weren't, yeah, like, completely soggy and ink
and
running all over it and stuff.
Weird. Amazing. That's one hell of a fishing rod.
They
or that's one
laminate everything in that town.
that's why rivers cost so much. We need to buy more laminating... Laminating plastics.
Yes.
That's very important to have in the budget.
Laminate our crackers.
Food prices will just have to suffer.
Laminate the crackers. That's why they're 30-something.
It's, yeah.
No one really cares about their cars in this town either.
The
driving sections are fun.
Oh, that's dumb.
That's all
that's
I can say.
That's the dumbest part of the game to me. I hate racing games. I don't want to spend half of a supposedly survival horror game in a fucking car. Like, that was dumb. It was fun it became fun when I realized that there was no punishment for driving horribly. Like, no cops tried to get me, like... And,
you're working with the cops. Yeah. And even when you've got the other cops in the car, you can drive against traffic on the other side of the road.
You can run over telephone poles. Like,
it doesn't take into account any kind of vehicle deformation or anything, so you just hit another car.
Well, no, but you do take damage on your car. It doesn't show it on the car, but it shows it on the night little percentage thing underneath your speedometer.
Did we ever get to see what happens when the car just, like, completely gets damaged to the point that it's...
I think it just explodes smoke and you can't go.
Just explodes and smoke?
Not like...
Oh, it smokes.
Just,
okay.
Yeah, smokes. Black smoke.
I think what would have been nice is if it just stopped and then in that sort of way, like cartoons, it just collapsed and there was nothing... till there was nothing but, like, you and a cop in two seats holding a steering wheel attached to nothing.
Might as well have been something like that. This fucking game so cartoon.
Then there was the time that I was driving the car and I stopped my car to keep the...
To keep Kaysen from getting away.
He was in pickup, and I was in front of him, and I gradually slowed down.
Didn't you get out of the car, and
then
he disappeared?
I got out of the car and tried to walk up to his car, and the car was gone.
Yeah, because there's, like, a cutscene, like, a tiny, like, kind of cutscene going on every time you get in and out of a vehicle. And it did the cutscene of him getting out of the vehicle, and then the truck was gone. Just poof.
I guess it was, like, picked up by aliens or something.
Or
Kaysen's a demon or some sort of thing like that. He could have just teleported the car away or made it fly or something.
And then there are the shortcuts you take through the fields. Sometimes it's necessary to get, like, those extra point medals.
Yeah, I get the medals for monies and things and stuff and things.
It's medals for monies. The conversation
that York has with Zack in the car are interesting. Yes. Mostly involving films.
Yeah, talking about... That's why Allison... Yeah.
Zack is York's number one fan.
Yes.
He's his number one fanboy.
Or is it the other way around?
Whatever the case, they have a disturbing codependent relationship. Which really isn't worth explaining here.
No. Go buy it. It's only like $20.
Probably even less if you look online.
Well, probably even less.
You already have it.
No, probably even less now that there are people selling it back to GameStop.
How old is the game by now, anyway?
It came out this year.
Oh, it came out this year, okay.
Shortly before Christmas. So not, 2011, but...
Ah. So it's not that old, but still, it's probably going to be cheap by this point.
But it was $20 when it came out.
Oh,
well, that's why I'm saying it's not going to be expensive. So if you want to play the best...
Clearly that company had no faith in that title then.
If you want to play the best worst game ever, go ahead and try out Deadly Premonition, I guess.
Yes.
It's fun to make fun of.
Good bad games. Good, always bad games. Always fun for a laugh.
Though actually this is the first game that I've played that's like that. I don't know if there's any other good bad games.
I'm sure there are plenty, but the thing is, like... Most of like the really good, like really bad games that me and DJ Bad Axe have played, they've always been like really old sort of, PC era sort of games. Like, what was that game we were talking about in a while back? That
Lands of Lore.
Yes, Lands of Lore. I forget like what
we
found.
We didn't even get to play the game.
I forget what we found so funny about it, but I just remember we had a fucking laugh riot with that game.
We didn't even actually get to play the game. We just went through the character creation process and pick an ally from four different options. And there was something wrong with the game because it was an old DOS era game.
Yeah, we were playing it on DOSBox, and it kept crashing.
Yeah.
But yeah... The point is, like, all of the really good bad games I've played have always been really old. This is a fairly recent one, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing or really, really disappointing, because, thinking this came out in 2010, what the fuck is wrong with us? That sort of thing.
Physics by NVIDIA. Sorry.
Is that really a selling point at this point?
I don't know.
NVIDIA does fuck everything at this point. Every game has some connection to NVIDIA on it.
I can't even remember where that was actually relevant to the gameplay.
Yeah, that's a good point. Where was their physics?
Where were their items where physics was notable? Oh, we see the... You see the items.
The book's
falling.
Rather large.
During the fishing section, maybe.
Maybe.
The book's rather large for a... Oh, well, it has the whole half in French, half in English thing.
Ah.
Going on.
I take it that was made by a French company.
No.
Originally. No?
No, they usually... Lately, all games have in North America have a French thing, because a lot of North America... There's Canada.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Duplicate the Québécois.
Yeah, so, like, instead of reprinting it in French, they just do it together.
Haven't been reading the manuals lately.
Actually, no, it's... What's it say en français? Bienvenue à Greenville, un petit village rural où Monsieur
York, I must have another cigarette.
Démarche avec Monsieur assumez le rôle de l'agent Francis York Morgan.
I see that. Bienvenue à Greenville, un petit village.
I was just reading that. God damn it.
Configuration minimale Xbox Live pour le jeu et la console Xbox 360. I don't speak French, but I know how to pronounce French.
You don't know how to press 360, because you wouldn't say it 360.
Well, it says 360. It doesn't say in words 360, so I'm not gonna... Reportez-vous à icônes orange de fonctionnalités pour connaître le Les. Los slipped into Spanish there.
It's not les, it's le. You don't le. Pronounce the S.
Okay, apparently I can't pronounce French either. I am just awful at being French.
Well, here's the thing. In French, you don't you almost never say the last letter of the words. Right. So.
I guess I wasn't paying attention to that. I was just trying to read it as is.
I took French,
bitch. I'm from France!
I took 3 years of French. I know what's what I was talking about.
Well, all right. So, it's Deadly
pronounced croissant.
Le croissant.
And guillotine. Sorry, I find that those are too many peeves when people say guillotine.
So, sum up, Deadly Premonition, quite crap. But in a fun way.
Yeah. Play with a friend.
Like watching a really bad movie.
Make a drinking game.
Sure. Make a drinking game out of it.
Every time Francis York Morgan talks to himself.
Take a shot.
Every time there's a... I don't know.
Every time there's a reference to seeds or plants. Take a shot.
When he stops to think, he does this thing with his hand where he like kind of taps himself. Every time he does that,
take a shot.
He actually does it pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you.
Every time you need to clean your suit, take a shot.
Every time you have to eat $30 crackers,
take a shot. Those have to be some damn good crackers. Those crackers would need to be made out of exuberance and orgasms in order to justify selling them for $3. Or, have cheese on them. Those are good.
Or have cheese on them.
Those are good.
Really good cheese.
Really good cheese. A really nice, sharp cheddar. Sharp enough to cut things with, like cheese. I'm not sure where that went.
Have a nice, nice glass of wine with your...
with your $3 cheese. Of course, wine, in this game, it would probably be like $250 for a bottle of, like, Andre's Cold Duck.
I was going to say, before you said what kind of wine, I was like, that's how much good... quote-unquote good wine is.
The game takes place in Washington, doesn't it? That's about the same place.
Yeah, it takes place in...
That's the same place where 8-Bit Dinners is grown.
That is true. That is true.
I did not know that.
It is supposed to... Yeah. That nice plug there for a wine company that you don't work for. Yes.
That would be nice if we were getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But we're not.
Well, you gotta... need to maybe have a pod go out before there's a possibility of
Getting
paid for things.
Can't.
Like, no one's just going to knock on my apartment door and be like, hey, I heard you're recording a podcast. I heard people listen to these things.
We don't know if you're going to be speaking on the internet at any time, but if you do, could you please pitch our product?
Please mention his name. We give you $2. I don't know why I suddenly went Asian-ish.
That sounded more Southern, actually.
I'll show you face up.
We are an incoherent lot. Even when we have a topic, we can't stick to the topic.
Which is good. Fills a lot of time.
That's true. That's true. Also probably have a lot of filler, but that's also fine.
Filler bunny? What? I'm sorry.
What are you doing? Anyway.
Filler bunny. You know?
No, I know what filler bunny is.
Oh, all right.
I meant, what are you doing with your life? Anyway.
Oh, all right.
Never mind. Never mind.
Kill yourself.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, Bang Dead. Oh, got this on with.
All anyway, right. Bang Dead. So.
Now me and Mr. Bad X here will have sex, and no. Because he's dead.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, I called him Mr. Bad X, not TJ Bad X. Oh, no, we're screwing up the world.
Makes no difference. Mr. DJ, makes no difference once the head's blowed off. You will not get that, I guarantee. Very few people will get that. Very old National Lampoon reference.
And you were scolding him for making a fucking...
Yeah, I did Dr. Evil. You went into, like, the 70s.
None of us were alive for that.
I'm a hypocrite. Anyway.
Oh my god, that was part of the tagline.
I am not Dr. Badass. I'm pronouncing
I just
dead.
Remembered. Oh man. The tagline was, the more opinionated we are, the more hypocritical we are. Shut up and listen. Or something like that.
What was that the tagline for?
For us.
Oh.
Podcast.
Wait, it was?
Something like that. I don't know. I was coming up. No, I was. I told you I couldn't think of. I had a few that I thought of. It were,
oh, you never actually told me any of
I told,
those.
Yeah, I did. I told you one of them. It was something along the lines of listen to 23-year-olds.
Oh yeah.
Like, be douchebags or talk.
I don't
shit.
Remember that one you just said though.
I was also
decisions being made.
At one point, there was.
You're part of the process, audience.
At one
that
point,
aren't really listening.
Shut up. At one point, there was going to be something involved, like. You know, outright saying, listen to two atheist 23-year-old douchebags. Because I'm sure that would get more people to listen. Not
yeah.
really.
It's the internet, who knows?
This is all going to be edited out. Not a scrap of this left.
Mr. Bad Axe and I, yes, Mr. Bad Axe, not DJ Bad Axe. Why don't I just call him Bad Axe and just stop all this dishing
actually,
around?
Actually, I was going to say that. I was like, just do Bad Axe.
Okay. Bad Axe and I recently got finished playing Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock.
Yes.
Warriors of Cock.
And it's topical because, you know, Guitar Hero is dead now. Because Activision doesn't know how to do shit. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have Call of Duty in the name.
And not even that, really.
Yeah. But anyway, Warriors of Rock.
Cack.
Anyway, Warriors of Cack, apparently. It was. Would you say it was pretty? It was fun. You liked. I kind of liked it.
I'd say it was better than Guitar Hero 5.
Really?
Slightly.
How do you figure?
Well, for one thing, it had a more detailed quest mode. That's pretty
sure.
much the only thing.
Well, sure. I mean, Guitar Hero 5 didn't necessarily even have a quest mode from the start. Everything was already unlocked.
I just want to interject and say I haven't played Guitar Hero since Guitar Hero 3, and I think it's the stupidest fucking series ever.
Yeah, I don't think you really missed anything.
Okay. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, it's
why
really,
I'm not talking during this conversation.
It's really just been going downhill from there. But yeah, Warriors of Rock, there was a lot of things about it that just kind of irked me. I mean,
mainly you had problems with the tendency to try to divide the songs. By subgenre.
The new thing about Warriors of Rock that's different, like in every other Guitar Hero, how the career mode worked is that it went on a path from like easiest song to hardest song, which is fine. And I guess technically Warriors of Rock did sort of do that, but. It really just sort of got really schizophrenic with Warriors of Rock, because instead of going from easiest to hardest, it divided them up entirely into different sets of specific genres of music. Like, the very first tier you can get, like, Johnny Napalm stage, it's just all punk rock songs. Actually, that's not even true, because there's like a bunch of...
It was intended to be only
punk rock, but they still stuck in, like, songs from fucking Twisted Sister and that stuff.
Which is more glam metal.
Yeah. And, like, they just sort of divide them up into, like, this level is punk rock, this level is metal, this level is alternative rock, and this level is southern rock, all that sort of thing, and that...
Can you avoid the levels of genres you don't like?
Nope, because
in order to beat quest mode, unfortunately,
and they brought back the unlocking thing too, so you kind of have to go through the quest mode in order to get all the tracks.
Because that's the only reason I would see the point of dividing genres is so you can avoid ones you don't want to play.
Unfortunately, that's not the case, which is sad because eventually we had to play through one that consisted entirely of hair metal.
Yes, that was Axel Steele's stage.
Yes, Axel Steele's. Yeah, it was Axel Steele's stage. Mm-hmm. It had Anthrax's Indians, it had Burn by Deep Purple, and then it was just wall-to-wall hair metal shit.
Hair metal doesn't bug me.
They had a track from Queensryche, a track from Night Ranger, a track from Tesla.
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard, and I think one track from Poison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and there was a track from Slash's solo album, which was, which is decent. Right. But all the rest of them were just kind of...
It's 80s
hair metal. It was
all over again.
Would you say it was like country rock or southern rock or whatever? You said there was one of those?
Oh, yeah, there was a southern rock tier.
Yeah, that's the one I wouldn't want to do.
Probably. Actually, it wasn't even southern rock necessarily, because it was more focused on like more classic rock stuff, but it somehow just sort of came off as southern-y in some of the picks it had.
Which tier was that?
I'm thinking of Austin Tejas's level.
Which is weird because
no idea who the fuck that is.
He's a new character, and he looks like a fucking desert wanderer guy, like a Fremen from Dune.
With a big fedora and sunglasses.
And goggles and a weird sort of beard thing, and he has a big trench coat sort of thing.
Like... And for some odd reason, when you get enough stars to make him transform into his warrior form.
Yeah, but before we go off on that, that's something new that Warriors of Rock brought. Like, in the quest mode, after you defeat enough of the songs, the character that you're playing their tier for transforms into, like, some Super Saiyan mode or something like that. That gives him superpowers or some shit.
For the other characters, it kind of made sense. Johnny Napalm would turn into, like, this weird kind of cackling goblin type thing.
He actually looked a lot like a troll from World of Warcraft.
He kind of did. And Lars Umlaut turned into some wild boar thing.
A pig man.
Casey Lynch turned into a snake woman, which was kind of weird.
Not all of them made a lot of sense, but...
Austin Tejas, on the other hand, did kind of have a southern rock kind of theme to him. But he turns into, like, the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, he even has, like, a pumpkin-shaped guitar. Which was especially weird, because, like, during the last level of the game, we had Austin Tejas in the band, and he was doing vocals.
He was the singer, yeah.
He has no head, and he was doing vocals. That doesn't work. That simply does not work.
I don't think we ever got a shot at the pumpkin that was hanging at his side that was supposed to be his head. That'd be interesting to see that thing.
Yeah. Maybe like if the camera took a look at that, we'd see like just a head just sort of jabbering away off at the side. Yeah. Or maybe the guitar was his head.
Maybe. The other misplaced subgenre thing was the other new character, Echo Tesla.
Yeah, that I am surprised at how pissed off I got off at this character's set list. 'Cause her stage and her character entirely and her warrior form pretty much built it up like she was some sort of amalgam of, like, goth industrial sort of stuff. But in the whole, like, she had, like, all sorts of robotics and wires and stuff in her whole motif. But her set list, like, indicated absolutely nothing regarding that. Like, there was a song by Nine Inch Nails, but... And that was pretty much the closest it came. The rest, there was Muse, there was Phoenix, there was Interpol, there was a song by Linkin Park, which is kind of close, but fuck them.
Sorry.
And I am just
choked me.
And I am surprised at how pissed off I got, and that it just couldn't follow the theme it was trying to set for itself. It was trying to be like this industrial thing, and it only had one industrial song in it. Speaking of that, there was another industrial song in the game, but it should have shown up there, but it was in Lars's stage.
Right. It was a track by Rammstein.
Yes.
Yay, Rammstein.
Yes. In general, but even without, like, Echo Tesla, I definitely think the game could have stood for some more industrial music. Because it's fucking industrial music and it's awesome, okay?
So says the great Sawtooth.
Yay, me. Anyway. But, yeah, the set list in the game was very, very, very schizophrenic.
Well, I just thought of that something. Is there a possibility that they created, like, her character before realizing whether or not they could even license that kind of music to their game?
I'm not really sure how the licensing works, but I figure if they were able to license so many big names as, like, Alice Cooper, the Rolling Stones, and, like, all that sort of stuff.
It's not just how big the names are, it's, like, whether or not people are willing to get the licensing of their music to, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, you shouldn't be asking the individuals behind it. You should be asking the record companies who own the rights to the songs.
Because there's a chance.
Then, of course, there's the issue of some songs had to be re-recorded because they couldn't find the masters.
So there could be a chance that they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to have an industrial chick, whatever. And then they realized they couldn't, like, the legalities of it. They're like, oh, fuck. Well,
so why not just get rid of her entirely? I mean...
And waste all of that animation and the level.
It's not like they didn't have, like, other characters they could crib from. I mean, Austin Tejas and Echo Tesla were, like, completely new characters made for the game, but... I mean, they had, like, a backlog of other characters, like Clive Winston and Xavier Stone. Those are two people we haven't really seen in a while.
They can't use Xavier Stone.
I have a feeling you would have liked to have seen Midori in the game, since she's your choice character.
Nah, there's nothing to which she could have fit.
Okay, whatever.
But Xavier Stone, they can't...
Was there anything she really fit in any of the other games?
That's a good point, but anyway.
Well,
I'm pretty sure I didn't hear any J-Rock. I don't know.
No.
There we go.
But Xavier Stone, you can't really use him because he was intended to be a pastiche of Jimi Hendrix.
Oh yeah,
and
that's
they've
right.
they've already gotten the likeness of Jimi Hendrix. They did that in Guitar Hero World Tour.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Whatever. It's fucking Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But anyway, getting back to what you said about re-recording the master tracks, because they couldn't find the masters. I don't really think that's the case, because I have seen like DLC versions of other other bigger songs by some of the artists on there, like Alice Cooper and Styx and all that sort of thing. And they have the master tracks and all that stuff. At least that's what I have read on websites and all that sort of thing. I mean.
I think it's on a song-by-song basis. Some of them might be easy to find, some of them might not be.
Well, whatever. Like I said, I don't know how this works. One thing that kind of surprised me about the said list, there were a lot of live versions. There were a lot of live versions of songs on this list. Which could be fine if you get a really good live version, but... I have heard some of the live versions and, like, store demos. They're not very good. Like, one thing that absolutely just pissed me off about Guitar Hero 5 is they picked an absolutely horrible-sounding version of Lust for Life by Iggy Pop to put in the set list. And now they did it again in Warriors of Rock, the live version they used of Sharp-Dressed Man by ZZ Top. It just sounds dreadful. Really bad audio quality, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
No comment? Okay.
As I recall, you made me skip past that one.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to relive it.
I see.
It was
that bad, huh?
It was that bad. There was something else I was going to say. I forget what now. Oh, yeah. It had to do with Guitar Hero 5, too. Like, I think the set list in Warriors of Rock was, like, made as backlash for Guitar Hero 5, because a lot of people were complaining that because Guitar Hero 5, it really expanded its spectrum really far. Like, they had, like, all sorts of, like, songs that probably never would have appeared before. Like songs by Stevie Wonder and Wild
right.
Cherry and Gorillaz and all that sort of thing. Stuff that you wouldn't normally find in a Guitar Hero game. People didn't really respond to... I guess there were people who didn't respond too well to, I guess, as they'd call it, putting more pop into the game. I don't know. I didn't see anything wrong with it personally.
I mean, do.
I like the set list. I liked the set list in Guitar Hero 5 more or less.
Mm-hmm.
I see a problem with it. It's Guitar Hero.
That's what they had. Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna, that's the reason why they have the Band Hero franchise. Though I suppose there's not gonna be a Band Hero 2 now either, is there?
Yes, the world is better for it.
Why would you want there to be one?
I don't think the world even wanted Band Hero the first.
No, they didn't.
But yeah, deep down, Guitar Hero's all about the guitar, I guess. Yeah, that makes more sense. And really, I mean, something I have discovered about Guitar Hero, it's kind of the same problem that, like, or at least I consider a problem that really hardcore players of ITG and DDR, that's In the Groove and Dance Dance Revolution, for those of you who...
Is that what that stands for?
I know. I thought it was Donut Donut Running. Or in the Georgia. Anyway. That joke failed. Anyway. But anyway, Guitar Hero.
I thought it was I Touch Gaze.
Anyway.
I mean, I keep seeing it on a certain friend of ours' Facebook, and I just go, that's what he's doing.
Yeah. that's perverse. No, it's not. Maybe it is. Who am I to question? Anyway. The thing I've noticed that has to do with, like, hardcore In the Groove and DDR players as well, like, there doesn't really seem to be any sort of... No one really cares about aesthetic or song choice or anything like that. It really... All it comes down to, all the best tracks just go really, really fast and have a shit ton of notes in them. That's what I've noticed. I mean, if you've seen some... You of all people have seen lots of people playing ITG at Fun World and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
You've seen some of the absolutely abominable song choices that people make.
It seems that song selection is based not on...
Well, they're trying to improve their skills, aren't they? They don't care about the song.
Yeah, it's definitely more aimed towards the challenging rather than, hey, this might be a good song to create a track for. It's definitely more because these people, all they really want is more songs on the high end.
I guess.
And what I suppose where you were getting at was, this attitude was also reflected in the Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock.
I was going to say, right. I can actually see that playing a song you think is shit, just because you want to beat it because it's harder or whatever.
I guess if I had to, like, sum it up even more concisely, Guitar Hero, it seems to me, has become a game for hardcore gamers, but Rock Band has become sort of a game for hardcore musicians.
I wouldn't say
or music fans.
Because most musicians I know, with a few exceptions, think Rock Band's stupid. Because their whole thing is, why play a video game when you can play the real instruments?
Okay.
Which I disagree with.
Maybe I mean hardcore Maybe I mean hardcore music fans.
I'd want to see instead of musicians. I want to see these real musicians attempt pro mode. Because supposedly... Yeah, I want to see that. Someone who has actual guitar skills playing the pro mode version. Because supposedly, that's a perfect analog.
I want that.
Strings by 17 frets.
Yeah.
I want to play real guitar on a video game. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. Have either of you, you've probably heard of it, I've already forgotten its name. Power Gig. It was released last year, and it came with a special new peripheral controller that pitched it was a real guitar. Mm-hmm. I really would like to find, like, you know, a playable demo of that. I probably never will, but I would just like to see that. I would never buy the game because I've heard absolutely horrible things about it. Like, the guitar doesn't work.
I believe you once told
like
me
the
that
guitar
thing.
Like, the guitar doesn't work and that it gets out of tune way too easily.
And I believe you also said that the set list is even douchier than Warriors of Rock.
That's right. I have seen the set list, and I have seen the set list of Power Gig, and while there are a few choice songs that seem really, really, that seem like they'd be fun to play, it's overshadowed by some of the absolutely douchiest taste in music sort of things ever. Like, there's Godsmack.
What includes douche music?
There's Godsmack. There's Kid Rock. All right, there's
so far,
there's John Mayer in a guitar game.
All right, that's
who does that?
Different end of the douche scale, but all right.
I know there were others, but I need to see, like, an entire set list in order to sort of point them out.
Was there Nickelback?
I think there was Nickelback.
Was there Three Doors Down?
I think there was.
We have the douche...
Yes, we have reached a trifecta.
We have reached the douche rock trinity.
Yes. Yes, we have.
I don't feel so good.
maybe we should get off this topic before start to retch.
Though I was going to say, I wanted to play Rock of the Dead. Mm-hmm. I heard it was horrible, but the thought of, you know, playing guitars at zombies and killing them with Neil Patrick Harris and Felicia Day, how can you go wrong?
I might like to see a game that uses the guitar peripheral for something other than, like, playing music,
and
too.
And it's Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can collect his body parts.
There's only one other game that I've, heard of that actually uses the guitar peripheral for something other than a rhythm game. And that's a game that I found on Xbox Live Arcade called Fretnice. And it's a platformer where you use the fret buttons to move around and you tilt the guitar neck to jump.
I would find that intriguing if I didn't hate platform games.
Yeah.
You mentioned it wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good. It's not easy to control. Huh. It's a novel concept, but it doesn't really work. The execution is off. Yeah.
The tilt sensor in some of our peripherals don't even work that well anymore, so
yeah.
There goes that game.
There goes, yeah.
Those are like the first to go in pretty much all controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Just the
tilt sensors.
God, no. I need my
points. Yeah. It seems
points.
When we play these games, I usually use like a Rock Band controller, and those work even less well in Guitar Hero games. Like, I'd be holding the guitar at a complete total 90-degree angle, and I'd get no response out of it.
Well, can't you also play like press select?
Yeah, but in the heat of, like, pressing a whole bunch of frets and stuff, that's
probably the one advantage Guitar Hero controllers have over Rock Band controllers. Mm. The Rock Band controllers have the one button kind of off to the side. The Guitar Hero controllers have a much larger back button, and it's right where the heel of your hand is, so you can just go in a... Just hit the guitar with the heel of your hand and it will activate star power.
I love how you're trying so hard to describe what you're doing with your hand. Like,
they're not going to see this.
But yeah, I was... I don't know. It's dumb.
You take your hand and make it go slightly askew. Yeah.
Like
that's
like
important too. You
have
to go,
revving a motorcycle without the motorcycle.
And you're holding it wrong. Unless you're really, really afraid there might be germs on the handlebars.
It is 7:38. Peoples who know that I'm listening. That wasn't so bad. Was it?
No, it was not.
Okay. I think you're getting very nervous. You're just like, they're staring at me.
Yes. Let us stare at Badax until something funny happens.
There, something funny happened.
Yeah, but no.
Let them speculate on what it was.
Nap time.
Well, thank you for listening to the first and last episode of Sarcasm.
Shall we take a break?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, break time. Go make a sandwich.